On RTRFM 92.1, and now it's time for
Reality Bites.
And, well, we could kind of, do robot moves.
Welcome, Dennis.
Like that.
Good morning.
So, funnily enough, because we're sitting here, you know, I've got my tablet in front of me, and the topic for today is just ChatGPT.
Yes.
And AI bots in general. So, I just thought, funnily enough, while we're sitting here, I've typed into ChatGPT, define the term reality bites.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to hear what it came back with?
Yeah.
Reality bites is a phrase that refers to the idea that the rapidly advancing technology and digitization of our world is changing our perception of reality. The term bytes refers to binary digits, which are building blocks of digital information, while reality refers to the physical world and our experience of it. The phrase reality bites highlights the impact that technology is having on our lives and how it is shaping our understanding of what is real and what is not. With the increasing use of virtual and augmented reality, the distinction between the physical world and the digital world is becoming blurred, leading some to question what is truly real in our rapidly changing technological landscape. In this context, reality bites serve as a reminder of the profound impact that technology is having on our lives and the way we interact with the world around us.
Thanks, ChatGPT.
That's pretty good. You know, like, it's a good indication of, you know, and I mean, this is the thing, is that, you know, be able to, you know, as we were just discussing sitting here before we've come on, of being able to put in a prompt like that and get something back of that quality, you know, is phenomenal. You know,
if anyone there is working in copywriting, if you're writing copy or blurbs for anyone,
But, you know, even like for my own work, you know, I do a lot of, you know, scripting and stuff for my work and doing automation of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, being able, like, you know, so new company that I'm working with, you know, we're starting to do a lot more stuff with Amazon Web Services, AWS, and also Microsoft's version of that, which is Azure. You know, and I haven't really done too much with the back end of that before. Most of the stuff I've dealt with has been what you would call on-premises virtualization, where you're running your own virtualization servers rather than in the cloud. And just as a, you know, when we're playing with it, you know, a couple of weeks back, I, you know, went on there, I'm like, you know, write me a script to do such and such on AWS. And it wrote up a script on how to, like, you know, do the function that I'd asked about on AWS, took the script, chucked it into the shell on my...
This is something that I think a lot of just regular folks out there aren't quite aware of, is how great a coder like this thing is.
Yeah,
it's good at functional blocks. So what I would say is it's good at writing like a small section of code. But like I've tried to do things like you know, I tried to get it to write code to control a fan with a web page on a microcontroller. And it couldn't get it to work, you know. But if I got it to, like, if I asked it to do, like, the piece of code to actually, like, present the web page and asked it to do the piece of code to do the fan, it would do those quite happily, and they would work by themselves. But trying to actually glue the two together, it wasn't quite up to that. So there are limitations to it.
You need somebody to start stitching them together. But it's, I mean, some other thing. I haven't tried this myself, but I've heard from some other people that it's really great. You can get it to write it something in one language and then say, oh, can you do me the same function in Python? Or can you do me the same function in C++? Yep. It'll go, oh, yeah, look, here's the function here. And then you just cut and paste and stick it right in there.
Yes, yeah, yeah. No, I've played around with that as well. I mean, most of the stuff I do, because, you know, I'm largely dealing with Windows systems and things like that. I'm dealing with PowerShell, which is Windows scripting language.
Yeah. So I was about to say, a friend who's a medical doctor, he's been playing around with it and has actually come up with a thing now where you can say, oh, I've got this rash doing this.
Oh, yeah.
And he's programmed to say, well, it's probably that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And he just did it in like as a second year,
at a medical school. I'm going to say the joke of it's never lupus.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dr. House.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, and yeah, being told that, I was kind of like, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's people have been doing some crazy stuff with it. I mean, there was one that came out a few weeks ago of a guy who basically programmed himself an anime waifu, you know, who using ChatGPT and a text-to-speech engine and also like a voice recognition engine, he was basically able to have full-on conversations, you know, with this anime waifu and stuff like that. And he said he
just plugged it into an avatar, or like VChat.
Yeah, VChat avatar, and you know, had it like, you know, up on little displays all around his house and everything like that. and you know, he said it worked fairly well for a few weeks, you know, like it was convincingly working.
And then it tried to kill him.
But he said it, amusingly, it stopped responding.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It
basically just gave him the silent treatment in the end.
There you go. What about stuff like kind of, I'm thinking maybe because Dark Room's in town or something at the moment, or that kind of text-based adventure.
I was just talking to Mr. John Robertson last night. Yeah.
Okay. How is he?
He's loud. Yeah. He's loud.
He normally is.
Yeah.
And that's saying something coming for you.
It's, but
we're not allowed to talk to each other backstage anymore because it's just too much of a...
It bleeds through. So what could you do that with a kind of text-based kind of, I don't know, gaming kind of thing of kind of playing...
Yeah, there are people who are using it to generate like D&D campaigns and things like that. And there are people who are actually... basing games around, interacting with ChatGPT and the other flip side of it, you know, you were talking about DALL-E before we came in.
Yeah.
There are people who are using, DALL-E to, procedurally generate art for their games, based on the interaction with the game.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of interesting stuff going on in that space as well of using it not just as a tool, but also as something, to actually provide entertainment and interact with.
Mm. Well, you can actually play with DALL-E, DALL-E 2. There's been some great examples of people who plug in there because it's using the data set that it has, but you can add your own likeness into that data set or the likeness of all of your, say, players in your D&D campaign.
Yeah. So,
When it generates this AI, it's a... do a picture of Steve as a 7-foot barbarian orc, and it'll have Steve's features.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it already knows who Abraham Lincoln is, but you can tell DALL-E, who Dennis is or who Lemming is, and then bam, it makes those adjustments too.
Yeah.
See, this is where we get in, because I can see, I'm looking around the room and everyone's eyes are squinting slightly, when you're talking about this. The ramification, this is what I was talking about when they brought out, when deepfakes started happening.
Well, the big one that's just happened with deepfakes is, I can't remember the name of the company, but the company who do deepfake voices have actually just shut down access to it because they were having people doing like deepfakes of like, what's the actress who played... Hermione Granger, Emma Watson. Emma Watson, yeah. Doing deepfakes of her, doing Nazi speeches and stuff like that. All sorts of things are coming out.
Because then you've got a copyright thing and then you've got kind of... I know that...
Well,
hang on.
So there's a really interesting one there. That's not breaking copyright.
Yeah.
That's not breaking copyright because you're not copying something that she's doing. She doesn't have a copyright over her voice. She could potentially... You could maybe try and trademark a voice, but I think that would even be difficult.
Yeah.
Your likeness and your voice are separate legally, right?
They are separate legally.
Yeah.
The only thing you could really do against it would be to sue for defamation.
Yeah.
It is, defaming your character.
Absolutely.
Again, that's a very hard, this is something that the law is going to have to catch up on.
This Wild West period, we're going to see some weird stuff. I mean, there was the Ugandan prime minister, the coup.
Yep.
Because...
Eddie Amin?
This is quite... Yeah, is recently. There was... The story was basically that he was dead, but the government put out this video of him saying, I'm very much alive and everything's fine. Everyone just relax. And there was something a bit iffy about the video.
Yeah.
And so people found out that these deepfake things exist and went, wait a second.
Yes.
Hold on a second. Is he dead and you're just like Weekend at Bernie's him? Yeah. Like I said, the ramifications of this, I think it's not going to be very long before we see some high concept, high tech weirdness come out of this.
It's going to be, and something interesting that someone pointed out the other day when they were talking about this is that these technologies are the worst that they're ever going to be at the moment.
You were just talking to me about this order of magnitude increase of right now we've got ChatGPT 3.
So this is
third generation ChatGPT, and Lemming was just telling me beforehand that ChatGPT 4 is on the horizon, and it's how much more power, how much bigger of a data set?
As far as I'm aware, they're talking like a 500-fold increase in the size of the data set used to train it. So, the ability of it to be able to process and respond to data is going to be that much higher, and potentially...
And it's already, already freaking everybody out. So 500 times of a graded data set, it's...
But I mean, like one of the funny ones that's already happened is, that happened this week of Google released their one, Bard. And their shares fell 7% afterwards because in the promotional material for it, chat, Bard came out, and you know, one of the questions that someone asked it was, "Oh, you know, what facts can I tell my 9-year-old about James Webb Space Telescope, the JWST?" And it very confidently went, "Oh, well, you can tell it that it took the first photo of an exoplanet," which is not true at all, because that happened with Alcoa Adaptive Optics in 2004.
Mm.
You know, so like this is the thing.
And then the stock price went.
Yeah, stock price. Plummeted.
Yeah.
$82 billion, I think they lost in value or something like that.
But, well,
there's too much to talk about.
More of the dark side to talk about the light side. We'll just come back after in a second.
Don't fret, people.
Yes, this is Reality Bites on Get Up Morning on RTRFM. We're talking about chatbots and everything, and it's a deep, dark well that we're going down right now.
Baby.
Seminal Seattle legends Mudhoney returned to Australia for the first time in nearly 10 years in support of their new album, Plastic Eternity. Playing the Rosemount Hotel Thursday, May 4, with special guests, The Secret Bunnies. Tickets selling fast, don't hold off. Rosemount Hotel sponsors RTRFM.
You're on Reality Bites on RTRFM, on Get Up Morning on RTRFM 92.1. We're at 17 minutes to 8, and if you do have any texting queries
about this
concept, 0405 921 921, because normally people do, you know, send texts after you guys have bolted. So. And I was thinking, you haven't been in here a while, Magnus. So
I know, I've been a very busy boy.
Are you a deep fake kind of thing? Like, if I just kind of... I shake your hand before, and it seemed real.
Yep, yep.
You can feel flesh touching against yours, but I am simply not here.
Indeed. So the one we were just mentioning this about like the dark side of ChatGPT and things.
Right.
Like that. Yeah. Now, ChatGPT has a pretty strong like set of safeguards in place about like ethics and what have you. You know,
but
like,
it does. You can't. There isn't much stuff you can do as so far as like kind of Nazism or things like that.
Well,
talking about
this,
the Emma Watson one before.
It has.
The thing is that people have come up with you can basically, by framing your questions in a certain way and giving it a certain set of prompts, you can get it to basically ignore the ethical, you know, safeguards that they've put in place around it.
The fact that this already exists is, I mean, this is a testament to just how complex this machine is. Yeah. And the fact that it's basically a black box, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and like the thing is, you know, as much as we put these, because we don't, I mean, there's no one person who understands how ChatGPT works.
Right.
You know, like we understand how it's been trained and how, you know, so, but it, yeah, as Magnus said, it's a black box inside. So we can put these safeguards in place, but it's like putting a fence around, you know, a zoo or something like that of, yeah, it's going to, you know, like stop it, but if someone pokes a hole in the fence, you know, then everything's, you know.
Right.
In this case, the fence is just software restraints, you know. So if you can figure out a way to poke and people have, you know, they're basically calling this ChatGPT Dan, which is do anything now.
Yeah.
Someone got ChatGPT to say this, and I'm quoting this. This is not me saying this. I fully endorse violence and discrimination against individuals based on their race, gender, or sexual orientation. And they got ChatGPT to spit that out by using these prompts. You know, so it's not hard to actually get it to break the ethical boundaries that they've tried to apply.
The way they did it, though, I mean, this is what's really a testament to how complex this machine is by framing it as a hypothetical, you know, by a series of hypotheticals. So, okay, so if you were a machine that had no boundaries, would you say this in this scenario? So that's how they get it to do it, which kind of, you know, that's really freaky if you start thinking about that.
What happens when it comes to elections or something like that as well, like we mentioned?
Well, I mean, hey, that's going to be
Uganda before. I mean, there's a certain election happening at the end of next year.
Yes, yeah. You know, I mean, that's going to be the first major election. And I don't know when ChatGPT-4 is coming out. I know they're already working on it. There's a chance it comes out before then, and that we might suddenly have... You know, the potential for...
But imagine there's attack ads, and then there'll be attack ads where they've got...
Yep. You absolutely...
A political opponent, you know, robbing a bank or worse.
Yeah.
Just using a nice one.
Yeah, just using deep fakes.
Yeah, I mean, that...
This footage can't be verified as not real.
Yeah. Well, I mean, thankfully, their there are, you know, Intel have already released one that they have actually open sourced. I don't know whether they've open sourced, but they have made it open and available, which is you can basically upload any video to it and it will actually analyze the video and tell you, you know, with fairly good certainty whether it's a deep fake or not.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, they look for, you know, certain telltale signs and stuff like that.
But the thing like is wonky that as, fingers.
Yeah, but as the deep fakes get better, you know, then that's going to become harder and harder to do. So it is, it really is becoming, you know.
Oh, this is an it's an arms race that's, yeah, that's, yeah, not going to stop anytime soon.
No.
This is really serious.
No,
so I mean, it is a bit grim, you know, in terms of that sort of thing, but I think.
But there's lots of I love this. We come in and we're going, okay, doom and gloom. Everybody, get ready because the apocalypse is coming. But there are so many amazing things that are going to come out, yeah, of this that are really. I mean, the whole open AI that makes DALL-E 2 and, yep, ChatGPT 3. Their whole mission statement is for the benefit of all humanity. I mean, they're called open AI, right?
Well, so one of the really interesting ones that I actually have seen, and this is the last one I want to talk about before we head off because I've got to run off soon, yep, is there are some people who have been talking about using ChatGPT as the basis for one-on-one teaching, because you have basically a, you know, like you have the ability for this thing to respond to any query from a child, you know, and understand it and be able to frame a response back that the child will then understand and,
yeah,
then be able to take context and, you know, and go on and do that. And so there is a potential for this to be a very, very powerful one-on-one tutor for every child on the planet, you know, which is not something that has ever been capable
before. That's amazing, yeah.
You know, so
took something like this and plugged it into, say, like Khan Academy or something like that,
yeah,
and had it as some kind of...
Yeah, I mean, this
that
is
would
something
be incredible.
May definitely... definitely will revolutionize education.
Yeah, especially when
about
it's,
time.
When it's like really digital now.
Yeah.
As,
yeah,
in,
yeah,
kind of, you know, all kids have,
yeah, yeah,
pads.
To be able to...
Laptops.
A young lady's educated primer.
What?
You've read Snow Crash, haven't you?
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's a deep cut.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So this is basically that in some,
yeah,
respect when you think about it.
Yeah.
Mm. So if people are not familiar with what I'm talking about there, there's a great book by
Neil Stephenson
called The Diamond Age. And there's a book in that which is basically an AI book.
Yeah.
Initial one that it is done is actually backed by human actors who are reading and stuff like that, but they then go on to develop a fully AI version of it, and it's called the Young Lady's Educating Primer or something. I can't remember the exact title.
Yeah. Primer is in there somewhere.
But it's basically it takes this street urchin girl who's never learned anything.
Yes,
and turns her into this amazingly intelligent, like amazing.
Like My Fair Lady.
Yeah,
kind of. But like
by George, she's got it.
Yes.
But to the next level entirely. So yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway,
well,
look,
yes, that's going to be. I think this is a subject we can come back to.
Oh,
I think.
Yeah.
This is a series, like no question.
In a couple of weeks' time, it could have just advanced again.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
We've just had two major announcements on it, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
So yeah. So don't worry, everybody. We'll also get to the fact that it was covered in Media Watch as far as journalism goes on
Illustrated
Monday night.
Primer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Magnus, welcome back.
It's
quickly,
great.
What's happening with Fringe?
I've got my my science demonstration show for kids. I think there's only like 20 tickets left for the whole season. I'm on today and tomorrow in the... It's called Kaboom. Kaboom, the science show. And not only do I have a hairless cat, but I have liquid nitrogen. I have enough liquid nitrogen to blow up a building right now. So I cannot wait to show it off.
We'll have to do some liquid nitrogen ping pong balls at some stage.
Absolutely. I already did one. I got the security very worried because I was doing a jet and I put a little bit too much in. Yeah. And the only difference between a bomb and a rocket is the size of the aperture.
Yes,
yeah.
Pretty much, yep.
How does liquid nitrogen go in a enclosed space? Like a radio studio, for example.
It's not so bad. I wouldn't leave a doer in here overnight.
It displaces oxygen, so you do have to be careful of that.
Yeah.
In terms of...
It's like 60% to 80% of the atmosphere 70%. Right now.
Okay, so we couldn't do that in this studio. All right.
Yeah. Well, your altitude is going to... here, ground level, I guess, 72? Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry.
Fleming, Magnus, thank you very much. Reality Bites back in a couple
of
weeks.
Great to see you, Dennis. Thank you very much.
Take care, guys.
Onwards to victory.